Okay, good morning, everybody. Boker Tov, let's get started. We are on the bottom of Hey Amud Beis by the two dots at the very start of the widest lines. Okay, Tanya, the very last of the thinner lines right before the wide lines. Tanya, Abba Bin Yamin Omer. We're going to have a whole series of statements that are made over the name of Abba Bin Yamin. Some try to connect the statements, but the simplest way to connect all these statements that we're going to make now is that they're all said over by the same Tana, Abba Bin Yamin. So he said, Omer, Ashtei Dvar Moisi Mitzar Koyamai. There are two things that he was always very careful about. It always troubled him. He was very careful to try to do them correctly in order that he should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. Al Tvilasi Shetei Lifnei Mitasi. I would always try to have my davening before my bed. We'll explain that in a moment in the Gemara. Right now it's an enigmatic statement. V'al Mitasi. And about my bed, Shetei Nisuna Ben Tzofon Ludorum. That the orientation of the bed should be in the north to south orientation. Now, what's going on over here? So the Gemara says, Al Tvilo, see, what was he so careful about that he should make sure that his Tvilo was by his bed? Shetehei lefnei mitasi. Mai, what does that mean? Mai lefnei mitasi. Ilemo lefnei mitasi mamish. It means he would stand by his bed to daven. So the bed would be in between him and the wall. So he said, that's not proper. V'amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon Lakish. Minayil mispalo shlo yehi daver chotzeis beino levein akir. When a person davens, he shouldn't have anything in front of him. He should have himself and then a wall there so people can't walk in front of him. The Shechina is right there in front of you. This is why a big halachic problem. When people stand in certain places, people come late to shul, and they stand right by the doorway. And they start saying Shemona Esrei over there. So then nobody else can come in the shul because you're really not supposed to walk in front of somebody who's saying Shemona Esrei in the four amos right in front of them. Some say even further than that. So that's why if you stand in front of a wall, you stand in front of a pole, you stand in front of a bench or a table or something like that, so then there's no problem if a person walks. That's a separation. So how could he let the bed? The bed's a movable object. The movable object isn't considered a real separation over here. So therefore, he's not doing the ideal thing. He should daven in front of a wall. So there, that's why they use the expression, he's davening by kosel. Right? When a person's davening in his house, they use the expression, he's davening by the kaisel. Right? It means he's davening by the wall in his house. Shenema, the pasuk says, we learn this out from Chizkiyo. Vayasev Chizkiyo, panav el akir, vayispalo. When Chizkiyo davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he shouldn't have bad children. He, with the whole maisa, he got sick, and he then was told by the prophet Yeshayo that you're going to die. So he davened to Hashem. He was taking matters into his own hands. He saw through Ruach HaKodesh he would have a bad child, which he did. He had Menashe. So he davened to Hashem to save him, and he was saved. He ultimately did get married. He got married to Yeshayo's daughter, and they did have children. They actually had twins. One twin, he ended up killing indirectly, and the other one, Menashe, ended up killing Yeshayo, his own grandfather. So he did have rotten children, but at the same time, that's not our business. So he davened by the kosel, he davened by the wall. So how can you tell me that Abba Bin Yamin, that you're so careful to daven by your bed? Your bed's an intervention. It's a chatzitza, so to say, between you and the wall. So he says, lo tamel if nei mitasi. It doesn't mean right by my bed. He davened by the bed, which is interrupting him between him and the wall. El ema, samuch lemitasi. What does that mean, samuch lemitasi? It means, the Amitasi Shite Nisuna Ben I'm sorry, no, what does it mean Samukmitasi? So Rashi says over here, Koy my Nisati Shalasos Melocha, Tilo even Lasok Bitorah. I wouldn't do anything else, Kishomati Mintasi, when I got up from my bed, Ach Echo Kyashma Spal. So this is the famous Rashi I was alluding to yesterday that says you shouldn't even learn before you daven. Toso says a very strong language over here. Lo Yadati Minole in the Toso's Elo Ema. He says, where did Rashi get this from? Doesn't say you can't learn before davening. And we discussed this a little bit yesterday, just to quickly repeat, that the idea is that you shouldn't either learn very, very deeply and engrossed before davening, that's what Rashi meant, that you get so fatumul that you can't daven properly, or that you forget, you get so engrossed in your learning that you miss Man Tefillah. So therefore, if you're davening with a minion in a shul with other people, they remind you that you won't miss davening, so then Rashi's concern doesn't even apply. The bottom line is, we certainly pass like Tosos and says you're allowed to learn before davening. Okay, in any event, you shouldn't do other things before davening. That, nobody argues with what Rashi says over here. You shouldn't go to work before davening. People sometimes, they exercise before davening. They go to work before davening. So it depends. If you're going to work and you're davening at work, some people, they have to get into the city real early. So what they do is they go in when there's less traffic and they daven the city. So that already, they're going in to daven, so there's room to be mako. But for people that do all sorts of things before they daven, it's really not correct. You have to ask yourself, is this really something that I can switch my schedule around? down and do the davening earlier and then do the other things, which are also important or good things to do, but they shouldn't be done ideally before davening. But if it's a mitzvah, Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to buy the challahs, you're allowed to buy preparations for Shabbos before you daven. But anything that's a mitzvah is not a problem necessarily do it before you daven. But other things that aren't a mitzvah, and certainly things that are inappropriate, they should never be done, certainly shouldn't be done before davening. The second part of the statement, Amitasi Shtein Isuna Ben Tzofel Adorim, he would orient his bed, the north to south orientation. So this has to do, the Amar Rabbi Rabbi Chanina, Amar Rabbi Yitzhak, Kolonosi Mitasu Ben Tzofel Adorim, Hevin Lon Bonim Zucharim. He will have good children. The reasoning over here is that it's like pasnish, it's inappropriate. The Shechina is in the east or the west of a person, depending on where you are in the world. So it's improper, so to say, to have your bed oriented. You're going to be with your wife, a person to have relations, and it's keneged the Shechina. This is not clear exactly what this north-south orientation means. It's more metaphysical than it is pure halacha. There's some suggest bedavka, the opposite. So halacha l'maisa, I don't think people are so careful about this, because there are actually opinions that say the other way around. But anyway, this is based upon the pasuk shenamar utzvuncha temale bitnam yizbu bonim. If you do this over here properly, if you're concealed, if you're tsanua, so to say, so then you're going to have your yizbu bonim. You're going to be filled with, satiated with bonim. Renachem Yitzchak Amar af ein ish to my pelis the following. There's another school over here. Your wife won't miscarry. Ksiv hachu utzvuncha temale bitnam. This pasuk that your wife will be pregnant. Ksiv asam vayemalu yomel leledes yinei somim bitnot, that she was able to carry even a pregnancy like with twins. So there's a school over here, an aspect over here that you'll have safer pregnancies. Okay, another statement. Tanya Abba Binyamin. Another statement. Abba Binyamin said, Omer shnayim shenichlusu l'spalo. If two people come to daven, the key then echad mihem l'spalo. So two people are davening. Their shuls were out of town. Their shuls were out in dangerous areas. They didn't have the shuls right next to people's houses. They were out of town. So when people would go to daven, they would be a little bit nervous to go home alone, to be the last guy in shul. So if you two people are davening, the key to mechoy min l'sval, one finishes davening, below him tim eschavera, but he doesn't wait for the other guy to leave. Now it's not necessarily they had a minion. We'll see over here, a very important halacha, that there's a mitzvah to daven in a shul, even without a minion. If you want to look at it this way, the hierarchy, we'll see, is to daven in a shul with a minion, then to daven in a minyan, even if it's not in a shul, then to daven in a shul without a minyan, and then the last is to daven at home without a minyan. So that's the base of the four options over here. That's the hierarchy in halacha. So here, these two guys were davening. They weren't davening at home, they were davening in a shul. One guy finished when I saw you early, he's ready to leave. The other guy's not. So if you do that, and you leave your other guy alone, they're out in the field, so the yatza and you leave, Tarfin lo tefillah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, rips up his tefillah, because you weren't good to him, midah keneged midah. Shenemar, toref nafsho biapo halamancho teyozev oretz. So you're going over there, and you're causing him to not daven well. He recognizes he's the last guy out there, he's nervous, he's going to rush his tefillah, he's going to not daven with kavan, he's looking over his shoulder every time. Are there shadim here? Are there mazikim over here? Are there robbers over here? So therefore, you caused his davening not to be good, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, takes your davening away. Below order, furthermore, El Shigorim L'Shlinish Nistalik Misrael. This is something that upsets HaKadosh Baruch Hu a lot. And it causes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, so to say, to leave Klai Yisrael as strong as it is, to go to a lower level. Shinemar, Vayetar Tzur, the rock moved, so to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Tzur, Mimikomo, Vein Tzur El HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shinemar, Tzur Yilod Choteshi. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to, one of the euphemisms that we use for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Tzur, the rock of ages, the rock of Klai Yisrael. Vim Himtin, so you do the right thing. If you do wait for somebody, so then Matzkaro, what reward do you get for that? So we turn to Vava Menalef, Amar Rav Yossi, Berebi Chanina, Zochel LeBrachos Halolu. You're going to be Zochel to all the brachos that are alluded to in this pasuk from Yeshaya. Luhik Shafto LeMitzvosoi. The Mitzvosoi over here, the Rabbeinu Yonah says over here, is the mitzvos over here that you're going to be Zochel to, your tefillahs will be accepted, and you'll be doing all sorts of Gemilas Chasadim. So, lo shafti limitzosai, v'hi kinor shlomecho, your shalom will be flowing like the stream. In other words, you'll have a good, peaceful life. We daven all the time for peace. That's the greatest bracha, is shalom. V'sidkosu kigale yom, your righteousness will be like the waves of the ocean. V'hi kachol zarecho, v'tzatzoei me'echo, v'gomer. And you'll have lots of children and wonderful descendants. So this is a tremendous bracha. Just again, you're doing a chesed for somebody doing tefillah. It doesn't get better than that. Chesed and tefillah, so you're doing a tremendous thing. Tanya Abba Ben Yamin Omer, another statement that Abba Ben Yamin says, Il Mali Nos Nurishus La'ayin Liros, Ein Kobir Yichol Lamo B'mehem Azikin. If a person was not be able to, if a person would be able to see all the mazikin that are around them, Rashi actually uses the word Kol HaShedim Ha'omdim L'fonav. So Rashi equates over here, the Sisi Chacham says that the Shedim are the mazikim. Again, we don't understand really what this is today. Nobody knows about Shadim today, but they were something that was apparently a real presence in the times of the Tanoim and Amoroim. And again, I said Rosh Yachid Shlita and others once said that if you substitute the word bacteria for mazikim, so then if we all feel comfortable, now we understand, even though we don't understand what bacteria truly may be ourselves. But in any event, that's a damager of sorts. So if a person were to look around, if we were to see how many mazikim, you get a shock. You don't realize how many there are around you all the time. Amar Abayi, inu nefisha minon. They're more numerous than we are, and they're standing around us. It's interesting, there are more bacteria in your body than there are cells in your body. It's probably by a factor of 10. You actually have more bacteria in your body than you have cells in your body. So I always thought that was very interesting. I think that's what the Gemara is referring to. They're more numerous than you are. So they're like kikisla, like a ditch, luugya, like a mound. In other words, you're growing vines over here, you're growing something, so you make a mound and you have a ditch around it. So that they're like the ditch around the mound. That's how much numerous they are. Given slightly different interpretations of this analogy over here, but Rashi and other interpretations by Tulsus, but they're basically saying the same thing. There's an awful lot of them. Each one of them, there are thousands to your left for you, there are thousands to your left, and tens of thousands to your right. And there are those that have the gear, so you see on the side, they'll be destroyed. That's the pipios, the sword, the two-edged sword that we said yesterday, will destroy those on your left and those on your right. Okay. The doichak, the pressure that you feel by the kala, minayu heavy. That's them. What you're feeling, the pressure, the crowd, the pressure that you're feeling is all of these mazikim around you pushing and shoving over here. Now, the hani birche de shili, so it tells us some other things or some ideas over here, metaphysical ideas. Hani birche de shili, the fact that your knees get tired, minayu, it's because of them as well. They're the cause of all of the troubles that a person has. Minayu havi, the bach is the word havi. Hani mani the rabbanon, the clothing of the rabbanon, the balu, that get worn out. Now you can understand your construction worker, your clothes get worn out. You're sitting on a bench in a base medrash, why should your clothes get worn out? So the mafarshim was laid over here that the clothes of the rabbanon wore out faster than the construction worker. So why would their clothes wear out? It's michuf yaditu, because again of the pressure, the rubbing, lashun chofet, Rashi says, that like you do chafifa, we just had in the Gemara Nida, that they would wash their hair before they went to the mikvah, they'd have to shampoo themselves. So this chufya, this rubbing of all these mazikim that are around us, this numerous number of mazikim that are around us. Anaf Yosef asks a very interesting question. What are all the shadim doing by learning? These are all learning. So why are there shadim over here by learning? So he says, the shadim come because of people that come to learn for the wrong reason. There's some people that come to learn because they wanna learn Torah. Other people come to learn because they want to be known. I go to the Daf Yomi. I'm a Daf Yomi guy. Okay, not Lishma maybe, but that's still a good reason to go. But there are other people that go, and they go, I'm going to go. I read the art scroll the night before. I found some footnote there. And when he doesn't mention that footnote, whoa, Rabbi, why didn't you say that footnote? That's such an important... So the people that come, liktata, they come for the wrong reasons. So they bring the mazikim. That's what the mazikim are doing all the base medrash. Otherwise, why the mazikim be in the base medrash? Okay. Hani kare de minak for minayu hai. Minayu. The knees that your knees are weary, so to say, that they're banging against each other, that they're you're not feeling so good. It's also because of them. All the pressure that you have is because of them. If somebody wants to know them, so wants to see what the evidence of this is. You shouldn't do this, Mufarshim will explain, but the Gemara tells us anyway. Lysen, we'll see a story, and Amora did this and he got into trouble. Lysen kitma nihila, go and take over here sifted ashes. The nadar apuya, and spread them around your bed. Ubitzafra, in the morning, you'll see, in the ashes, you'll see the footprints. The Israeli government knows this Gemara, and they used to have all those, and they still do. They have these ditches like that are filled with sand, these areas of sand. So if any terrorist, Rahman al-Islam, crosses, you'll see the footprints, and they're constantly monitoring this. You can't jump over it. It's 10 feet or 20 feet that they have of the sand. So it's a perfect, pristine sand, and if any footsteps are there, they know a terrorist is Rahman al-Islam come across. So they know this from this Gemara. So this Gemara says, how did the Shadim, can you tell that they're there? You'll see in the morning in these sifted ashes that are around your bed, Chasi ki kari the Tarnagola. You'll see that they have footprints over here that look like the footprints of a Tarnagol. The Gemara in Gittin, when it tells us the story of Ashmadoi, the famous interaction, Shlomo Melech and Ashmadoi, where he finds the Shamir, so it says that their legs are like chicken legs. So the footmarks that you see over here, now you have proof that these Shadim are around. Hi, man, the boy, Lemerzinu. Somebody wants to see them, again, which you should not do. You should go and take the shilya, the placenta, of a black cat. Bas uchmasa buchrasa, bas buchrasa. You should take a firstborn cat that's the daughter of another firstborn mommy, right? Again, I don't know for sure. Maybe it's the source of the secular idea that a black cat is bad luck. I don't know. In any event, this is something that we don't understand, these types of Gemaras over here. Go and burn this shulya in a fire. Lushachake, grind it up. And put it in your eyes. Rashi points out that you need only a small amount over here, so that's why it says lamali, fill up your eyes. Even a small amount will go and fill up your eye. Mine from these ashes. The chazi lehu, and you'll see them. Ulushadya begufsa the parzula. But make sure that you keep these ashes that you just burned from the placenta in a sealed container, because they'll steal them from you. That you put them inside a still hollow container, the gufsa de parzula, ulichasme, and you should seal it, because spanka de parzula, with some sort of a metal seal over here. Dilmogande mine, because they're going to want to steal this from you. Ulachto, make sure you keep your mouth closed when you're around these people, around these shadim. Gehechi de lo listik, because they're going to damage you if your mouth is open. Don't understand any of this, we just read these Gemaras. Rabbi Barabai, Ovid Hochi, we have one of the Amorayim, Rabbi Barabai, who did this, and it worked, Chaza, however, V'Yitzhak, but they damaged him, they hurt him. However, Bor Rabbanon Rachmei Alei, the rabbis davened on his behalf for Itzeh, and he was healed. Okay, again, another statement from Abba Ben Yom. Tanya Abba Ben Yom Nomer, another statement he made, Ein Tvila Shel Adam Nishmas El Beis HaKnesses, a person's Tvila is only heard best. We don't say it's not heard at all. El Beis HaKnesses. Again, this is the source for the din that I mentioned a moment ago, that even if you're davening B'Yechidus, people don't realize, even B'Yechidus, you can't make it, there's no minion, right? No, I remember when I moved into this neighborhood over here, there was one 830 marv in the entire neighborhood. Right? You have to go to Far Rockaway if you wanted a later marv. It was one 830 base medrash, or a noble's base medrash. So they had an 830 marv. Young Israel here, we had a mincha marv bisman. If you missed the mincha marv bisman and you couldn't go to the 830, you were stuck. So what should you do? So in an ideal world, so you would go and daven in the shul alone. The shul was open. The shul's not open. It's not open. But if you have the opportunity, it's better to daven in the shul alone without a minion than to daven in your house without a minion. But as I pointed out before, people that have office minions, right? They can't get to a shul, but they have an office minion. We have a minion in the hospital. So it's better to daven with a minion than to daven b'yichidus in a shul. So choices are davening with a minion in your house and your office minion, or davening alone in the shul. So then the minion trumps davening in the shul. But alone in your house, alone someplace, versus alone in a shul. Guy lives, his office is next to a shul. No, there's no minion around, but the shul's open. So if you can, ideally, go daven in your shul rather than in your office. But that's, again, no minion. And where do we know this from? Shenemar, Lushmal Arena Vela Tvila. You should go over there, B'Makum Rina, in the place where they sing Shvachos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's one of the reasons why it's called Psuka de Zimra, right? You're singing Shvachos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shamte Tvila. That's where you should daven, in the place where there's regularly done praises and singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Try to daven there. How do you know that Kodesh Baruch Hu is always present in the Beis HaKnesses? Shenemar, Elokim Nitzav Ba'Adas Kel. God hangs out, Kaveh Yochel, in the Adas Kel, in the place where there's the congregation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we know that when 10 people are together, the Shekhinah is always there? Shenemar, this pasuk, Elokim Nitzav Ba'Adas Kel. The Eda, we learn out the famous Gerushava of Eda, from Adas Korach, to tell us that you have a minion, where we have this allusion to a minion from a Daraisa level, the Eda from the Adas of Korach and the Meraglim. So, in any event, that's what we learned it out from. Man, we know three judges are judging the Beis Din, so the Shekhinah is there as well. that God's presence is present where they judge. How do we know there are two people just learning together? Chavrusa. Hashem is over there as well. So even if two people are learning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes. And finally, Mayu Luchoshvei Shemo, the end of that pasuk, it says Luchoshvei Shemo. So what does that mean? Amar Ravashi. Ravashi tells us over here, Afilu, the Bach Yitzhak words Afilu. Afilu Chosh Avodim Lasos Mitzvah. Even if you want to do a mitzvah, the Nenas, and you're unable to do a mitzvah, the guy says, I'm going to go to the Daf Yomi. He sets his alarm, and then there's a power failure that night, and his alarm doesn't go off, and he sleeps through it. So he tried. He set the alarm. He did everything he's supposed to. Venenas, but there is an onus that came along. Velo asa, and he didn't do the mitzvah. Listen to this. Milo of akosu kilu asa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers it for you as if you did it. If you try to do a mitzvah and something stops you from doing it, so then you get credit. That's an amazing thing. People have good thoughts. They say, I want to learn more. I want to do more chesed. I want to be nicer to my wife. I want to be nicer to my community. So even if they have good thoughts, you have to have real intention to do so. You can't just wink, wink, say, yeah, I have good thoughts, and then do all sorts of bad things. Don't set your alarm. Yeah, I want to go to Daf Yomi, but you don't set your alarm. Right? So that's not going to do it. But if a person really, truly has good intentions, so then in that situation, he'll get credit for it to a certain extent. Continuing the pattern we had for 10 to 3 to 2. Even one guy learning Torah alone. You chazed a daf at night. You go take out a chumash and do shnai mikri yachatagum. The osik b'torah. And you're learning shishchina imo. The shchina's presence is over there. How do we know that? Shenema. V'chol ha'makom asher aski yoshvi ovo elecha uvirachticha. Wherever my name is mentioned, I go to that person. And I go and bless him. No, the Gemara says, if you're telling me the Shekhinah is present by one, why do you have to tell me it's present by two, three, and ten? Kal v'chomer. If the Shekhinah is present by one, it's present by ten. V'chim yachad afilu chad, trei mi bo'yu. Why do you have to tell me the pasuk for two? If I know the Shekhinah is present by one, certainly it's present by two. So Gemara says, no, trei michtava milayu b'sefer azichronos. Chad lo michtava milayu b'sefer azichronos. There's a different level of learning, so to say. You're learning by yourself, you can make mistakes. Right? You go through the same mistake over and over again. You're saying something wrong, but there's nobody there to correct you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't write down that type of chidushim that you make in that situation in the Sefer HaZichronos. But when you're learning with two people, so then that's a higher level of learning. Tosafot says, don't think that one guy learning, it's not written down. It's written down. It's just not written down in the same way, in the same place, whatever that exactly means. So learning with the Chavrusa is better than learning by yourself. Doesn't mean you shouldn't learn by yourself. But it means that learning with the Chavrusa is on a higher level. Yeah, Jeff.
How would that work today, for instance, if you were listening to a shira online?
So many suggest that that's learning b'chavrusa. That's learning b'chavrusa. Some suggest even learning with the sefer. If you're learning with the sefer, that, you know, we have so many sources. They didn't have the sources that we do. They were learning by heart. So if you're learning by heart by yourself, you're going to make the same mistake over and over again. If you take out a Mishnah Berurah, you're learning with the Chofetz Chaim. Mm-hmm. You're not learning by yourself. You don't have to worry that the Chofetz Chaim can say. You have to worry that you don't understand what the Chofetz Chaim said. So yeah, it's not exactly the same. It's still better to learn with the Chavrusa because you're still going to make mistakes. But many suggest that all learning today is automatically always when we're learning from a sefer, you're really learning with the author of that sefer. So again, not ideal still because we know we make mistakes. But that's how one would explain. So listening to the daf, I give the daf. Everybody should know. If you can't ever make it to the daf, whatever the reason, the dafs now are all online on YU Torah and on the Shul website. So again, there are many, many other shiurim as well. Lav daf, you have to listen to mine. But it's all, there are many, many resources online that a person can listen to Torah online. Nuhem where it says, V'chim yachad afilu trei. If you're telling me the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there by two, so t'lasso mi boy, what do you have to tell me by three? So one says, no, ma'al detem, I might have thought dina shalmu bi'amuhu. You might have thought a din Torah is not really learning. It's okay, we have to make peace amongst people. Reuven's fighting with Shimon, so we'll make peace. But that's not learning Torah. So the answer is no, it is learning Torah. You might have thought, well, lo, os yushchina, because that's not learning Torah, that's just making peace. So, the dina nami hainu Torah, the judges, when they're adjudicating the case, and they're going, oh, the Gemara says over here, bava kama this. He says, no, but what about Tosa says that. So when they're going back and forth, judging the case, so they're learning also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's there. No, so we know that God's there by three, so why do you have to be there by ten? So listen to this. Asara kod moshchina, v'yasya, God comes first. When there's going to be a minion, right? After the daf over here, there's going to be a 7:30 minion, God's already there. He's waiting for us. Joey always gets there first, almost, but God's there ahead of Joey even, right? So we have over here this concept that the Shechina comes ahead. The Shechina is there first when there's a minion. And that's why we'll see, the Gemara says, when there's no minion, the Shechina gets upset. Say, hey, I came here, how come you guys aren't here? So, t'losa adi asve. But when three people are learning together, or there's a beis din, etc., so God waits till they all get there, then God shows up, kava yochel, so to say. Okay. Amar Rav Avin. Now we have a new member. Amar Rav Avin, by Rav Ado, Amar Rav Yitzchok, Minayin Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu Miniach Tefillin. Again, a strange idea over here. Many suggest that the whole idea is to show us the importance of Tefillin and to show us that everything revolves around HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything that we do, there's a purpose for everything in life. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always demonstrating to us. We have a mitzvah that we're supposed to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin, we're supposed to learn how important that is, and we're supposed to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu with tefillin. Now, one of the ikarim of the Rambam is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a head, doesn't have an arm. So these are all anthropomorphisms that we use to help us understand in some way what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. But nobody should walk away from the shir and think, yeah, God's putting on a physical pair of tefillin on his physical head and on his physical arm. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a physical head, doesn't have a physical arm. These are all ways for us to have an inkling, it's the clue, as to the importance of certain mitzvahs and to certain understanding, but not to actually believe that this is a true image over here of a physical, corporal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rachmanu Litzlan. Okay, so how do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin, whatever that exactly means? Shenemar, Nishba Hashem b'yemino v'zro uzo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu swears with his b'yemino v'zro uzo. What does that mean? B'yemino zu Torah. Shenemar, b'yemino eish doslamo. The allusion to the Torah is on the right. V'zro uzo, that's the tefillin on the left arm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol. El tefillin. Shenemar, Hashem oz li'amo yitein. So now, with this understanding, uminayin shel tefillin oz. How do we know that this oz, the reference, is the tefillin? Hamli Yisrael, uminayin shel tefillin oz. Hamli Yisrael. They'll say, "V'ro kol ami aretz ki shem Hashem nikra olecha v'yaru mimeka." So he says over here the concept of wearing tefillin is going to instill a fear in our enemies. And it's interesting, they bring down a cute thing over here. Ki shem Hashem. The letters are. The first letter is the Chav, the Shem of Hashem. The Shem is Yud Kevav Kis, so it's the Yud. And then the Nun, so that's a reference to the Shin on your tefillin. The Shin on your tefillin Shel Rosh, that instills fear in the Goy. The Tanya, Relez HaGodomer, Elu Tefillin Shel Rosh. This, an allusion to that idea is that the letter Shin over there from Shem Hashem, the Yud, from the Shem of Hashem, Nikra, Shin, that's what the Goy are fearing about. So the question...
Is this the reason that in some places... The persons wear the tefillin and their talit throughout the
day. So that's a very good point. A person should ideally wear his talis and tefillin all day long. Unfortunately, we've sunk to such a level that we can't keep our minds clean and our bodies clean, so therefore we take them off as fast as possible. This is the major reason why the Aruch HaShulchan brings down why women shouldn't wear tefillin. Even though we allow women to do mitzvah saseh all the time, shesman groma, but not tefillin. And the reason is because it says, Aruch HaShulchan says this, I would never say this on my own. Aruch HaShulchan says, a man shouldn't wear tefillin. It's too dangerous. No, we don't have a choice. We have to. But we take them off right away. We don't keep our tefillin on all day anymore. Yechidim do. Individuals do. You can keep your body clear. You can keep your mind clear. So then you're supposed to wear tefillin all day. They used to make a bracha when they took off their tefillin right by the shkia. Because now there's a mitzvah to take off your tefillin. But we take them off right away. We don't wear them longer than we absolutely have to. Again, if you can keep your mind clear, they're supposed to do that. But that's why Yaakov Shulchan says, a man shouldn't wear tefillin, it's too dangerous. If you have a wrong thought, if you tell Lashon Hara, you speak during Shemoneh Esrei with your tefillin on, it's so horrible. It's a terrible, terrible thing to do. So that's why he says, a woman would be crazy to wear tefillin, and therefore we don't allow them to wear tefillin, because they're not mechuyavos to wear tefillin. But a man, he shouldn't wear tefillin either, except we don't have a choice. So this is a very powerful idea. Now, let me ask you a question. How come people never have been killed with their tefillin on? How come we don't all wear tefillin when we go out to battle? If it says that they're going to be afraid of us when we wear our tefillin. So there's a famous Vilna Gaon over here. It says, Elu Tefillin Shebarosh. It doesn't say Sha'al Harosh. It doesn't mean the tefillin that I'm wearing right over here. It doesn't mean the tefillin that you physically see. It's if somebody has the tefillin in their head. If somebody's a yid whose tefillin are in his body, his entire corpus is tefillin. His actions, his midos, his total body is tefillin, so then the guy are going to be afraid of him. And they talk about many gedolim that tell stories that the guy would walk out with his tefillin. Guy, this gadol would walk out with his tefillin, and the guy would run away. There's a famous story. I remember the name of the gadol, but they threw him into a zoo to be killed. A zoo. They threw him in amongst lions, and this happened in Europe in the 1500s, 1600s, 1700s. I don't remember the exact details of the story. Heard it a long time ago, and they threw him into like Daniel with the gov arayas. And all the lions ran away. All the wild animals ran away. He's the only guy that ever survived that. They were amazed. What? It was Tefillin Shel Rosh. So this is a very powerful idea, but it's not just, oh, you put on the tefillin, and that's the best force field that you can have. That's a shield. That's, you know, stop a cruise missile, right? No, that's not the way it works. Amalei Rav Nachman Yitzchak Rav Chiya Barabin, Hani Tefillin, the Mare Alma. These tefillin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears. Mike Sibu. What are the parshios? We know our parshios. Rashi points them out. Shema Avayim Shema. Kaddish Vayakiv Yavacha. So those are the four parshios that we have in our Shorosh, the four different compartments in the Shoyad, all in one parchment. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have in his tefillin? So I'm like, Umi Kamcha Yisrael Goya Chabaritz. Who's like the Jewish people? Where it says, really? Umi Mishtachet Kudshu Brichu Bishvachayu the Yisrael? Is he praising himself by praising us? So the Gemara says, yeah, in, d'chsev. Es Hashem ha'amarta yom, u'chsev, the pasuk continues, v'Hashem ha'amircha yom. So what does this mean over here? Omer l'makosh baruch l'Yisrael, atem asisuni chativa achas ba'olam, you've made me one unique thing in the world, Shema Yisrael, Hashem l'kenu, Hashem echod, v'ani yese etzchem chativa achas ba'olam, and I make you, mikam cho Yisrael, goyecha ba'oretz. So it's quick poke, pro quo, so to say. We made HaKadosh Baruch Hu unique. We declare HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad, not that we made HaKadosh Baruch Hu unique. We declare that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique. So Hashem declares that we're unique as well. Atem asisuni chativa achas b'olam, shenema shema Yisrael Hashem l'kem Hashem echad, v'ani yaseh eschem chativa achas b'olam, shenema mikam cho Yisrael goyecha ba'aretz. Oh, very beautiful idea. Amalei Rav Acha b'rei d'rav ol Rav Ashi, teinach b'chad beisa. Okay, that's one compartment of the Shel Rosh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears. What are the other three compartments? So now we're going to bring down Bashar Bati Mai. What is in the other compartments? And we'll bring down five additional psukim. So the Gemara is going to ask in a moment, you're going to count and say, well, there's five. So that adds up to a total of six. There's only four compartments. So I'm just preparing you for what you're going to think in your mind. Anyway, Amalei. Kimi Goy Godol. That's number one. Umi Goy Godol. That's number two. Ashrech Yisrael. That's number three. Arnis Elokim. Usitcha Yom. That's number four. So besides Mikam Chay Yisrael. So that's number five. So Yachin, Nefishlu Tuvi Bati. There's too many Batim over here. So what's going on? So Gemara says, Elo, Ki Mi Goy Gadol, and Umi Goy Gadol, the Damin Ladad, the Bechad Besa. They're really one cloth. That's one parchment. That's one pasuk, essentially. That's part, compartment number one. Ashrech Yisrael, Umi Kam Yisrael, Bechad Besa. That's parchment number two. Oh, I need to look in Bechad Besa. That's compartment number three. That's compartment number four. And this way we have four compartments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shorosh. And the same thing, the Gemara says, and the same thing is all on one cloth in the Shoyad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, our tefillin are like this. We have all four parashos on one cloth in the Shoyad. There are no separate compartments. And in the Shorosh, we have four compartments. There's a beautiful reason why that is so. Because it's the tefillin, one of the things that they represent, amongst the many things that they represent, is our subservience to our Kodesh Baruch Hu with all of our senses. So your Shoyad has one sense, the sense of touch. Okay? So it needs only one compartment. Your Shorosh has four senses, right? You have sight, vision, smell, and taste. So we're symbolizing that we're subserving our four senses to our Kodesh Baruch Hu and our Shorosh. So that's why the four compartments are in one compartment. Very beautiful idea. Many, many other explanations as well. Weiter. Amar Ravim Barav Hada, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Kol HaRogi Lovo Lebeis HaKnesses, Lo Bo Yom Echad HaKodesh Baruch Hu Mashu Bo. You do a good mitzvah. I told you this the other day. If a person does a mitzvah, and he's basically declaring, I'm making an edit to do this mitzvah. So if a person goes to shul, then he doesn't show up. God asks, Nu, where's Yanko? Where is he? How come he's not here today? Right? A person does any mitzvah. You go to Tomchei Shabbos. So all of a sudden, you're not there. So where are you? How come you're not there? So Shinema, because the pasuk tells us from Yeshaya, Mi bochem yorei Hashem, shomea b'kol avdo, asher holach hashecha, meinogalo. He left over here. The word asher over here, the slach says, means im. Im holach hashechem veinolago. If he went off into the darkness, he's not going to have any light. What does that mean? So the Bach adds the words over here. The im l'dvar mitzvah holach, if he goes for dvar mitzvah, others have the gears over here. The im dvar mitzvah, if he goes for dvar mitzvah holach, so then nogalo. Then he will have light. He won't be going off into the darkness. No, the reason why the guy couldn't come to the shiur was he's helping his elderly parent go to the doctor. So that's who else is going to do that? So therefore, you have a right to miss the shiur. You'll catch it on tape later on, right? They didn't have that option. You have to learn it yourself later on. Today, you catch it on tape later on. So if you had to do a mitzvah, and that's why you couldn't go to shul, you couldn't have an minyan because you're taking care of a sick wife. You're taking care of an elderly parent. That's why you couldn't go to shul. They're in the hospital. You stay with them in the hospital. So you have to miss your minyan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no problem whatsoever. However, Ibn Vara Rishus Holak, instead of going to minyan, you decide to go and work out in the gym. And you'll daven be yechidus. No. Ain no galo, you're not going to have any light. Yiftach b'shem Hashem. Ain no galo. Then the post says, Yiftach b'shem Hashem. My time up, mishum dahavi li livtok b'shem Hashem v'lo botach. Because you shouldn't trust it. And you're not talking about going to the gym, talking about even the guy had to make extra parnasa. So you shouldn't trust it on Hashem. one of the rules of thumb, and it's not 100%, but one of the rules of thumb my Rebbeim taught me was, you have to do ishtadlus in this world. The person shouldn't rely upon, God will give me everything that I need, but I don't have to do anything to get it. Maybe a yechidim that could do that, but that's not the normal way of life. Person has to work. Person has to do his ishtadlus. But doing too much ishtadlus is a problem. Right? Yosef, right? In the parashas we just learned, Yosef did too much ishtadlus on his level. He stayed in the jail another 2 years. So how do you know how to do how much ishtadlus? So the general rule of thumb that Rabbeim gave me, I think it's very true, but again, you have to look at each case individually. Ishtadlus that causes you to stop doing a mitzvah or something good that you were doing is probably too much ishtadlus. Very important idea. Ishtadlus normally shouldn't make you stop doing something good. You've been going to a shir all these years, and suddenly you need to do more ishtadlus and say, well, I can't go to the shir anymore. I can't go to minyan anymore. That's probably too much ishtadlus that you're doing on. Again, you have to do ishtadlus. You have to know sometimes when. One of the hardest things we have to do in life is know how much is too much ishtadlus, how much is not enough ishtadlus. But that's a very nice rule of thumb, and that's what it says over here. You should trust in Hashem. Yiftach b'shem Hashem. He doesn't find the 10 people there. He gets very upset. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't get upset. These are ideas for us to teach us. You should be on time for shul. You should be one of the first 10. It's a big zuchus to be on the first 10 in shul. I come to shul, nobody's there. The ish, the 10th guy, is not there. Every person should consider himself always the 10th guy. It's like on Yom Kippur. You should evaluate the whole world as it being 50-50, and your actions are going to make a difference. Anybody that establishes a makom kavua. What is a makom kavua? Is open to a lot of discussion. Makom kavua, the simplest way is you always sit in the same place. I heard one from the Rebbeim that this way you don't look around at all the yard site plaques, and because if you keep on moving around to different places, you start reading all the yard site plaques to the next to your seat, and you don't daven, you don't concentrate. The idea is that if you're sitting in the same place every day, there's nothing going to be distracting you, because you'll know all the cracks, you'll know all the things that could distract you. You're used to them already. So that's one of the ideas of Makom Kavua. But here the Gemara is giving us a different concept of here. If you set up a Makom Kavua, Letzvilaso, Elke Avram Yezo, you're considered like a Talmud of Avram Avinu. Ukishemes, when you die, they're going to say about you, Omrlo, Oi, Anav, Oi, Chasid, Oi, this guy, he's gone. This Chasid, this Anav is gone. So why you Bedav called it Anav? So the Tzlach has a beautiful interpretation over here. The Tzlach says that if a person goes and realizes that it's not me that's doing the davening, the place I davened yesterday has more Kedusha because I davened over there. So therefore, I'll daven in that same place again, because my tefillah on my own may not get accepted. But if I daven in a place where there's already tefillah, so to say, there's already kedush over there, that person's an onuf. He's not relying upon himself. So that's why he's called an onuf. If he davens in the same place every day, he realizes that the place helps him in his davening. It's not him alone. And you're a chassid over here. The person is considered a righteous individual, mitamidav shel Avram Avinu, because Avram Avinu was the classical person who went back to a place to daven. He didn't trust on his own zuchusim. Avram had no zuchus avos. He's the only person in the world, so to say, that didn't have zuchus avos. We all daven zuchus elke Avram, elke Yitzchak, elke Yaakov. Avram didn't daven elke Terach, right? He had no zuchus avos. So he could have been, of all people, the most arrogant and said, listen, anything I got is due to me. There's no zuchus avos over here. And yet he's a chassid, he's an onav. So that's why he's called Mitamid of Shal Avram Avinu. The Avram Avinu, we know, learned the cover Makom. How do we know that Avram davened in the set place? The Pasuk says, so therefore, he went back to the same place to daven. And the Lashon of Amida, Amad, is a Lashon of Tvila. We learn this out from Pinchas. Shenemar Vayamo, Pinchas Vayapalo. So we see this Lashon. Another statement. When you leave shul, don't run. Don't run out of shul. No, if you have to run for the LIRR, you have to run for the train, okay, maybe you're allowed to, you have a hefter. But in general, don't run when you leave the shul. You're going to the diner to have breakfast, don't run when you leave the shul, okay? Don't take psia gasa, large steps. Why? Because it looks like you're in a rush, he says, you're in a rush to leave the shul, you can't wait to get out of there. Right? If the people that hang around after the team wins the Super Bowl, after the team wins the World Series, they're staying in the ballpark and they're dumping and dancing, they're happy, they're not running out. Right? So you want to show your chavivas or something, you don't run away from it. I'm by law Moran, we only said this, El Lamefik. That's when you're leaving shul, you shouldn't run. Avalameel, Mitzulmai, run to shul. That's allowed. Shemar, near the Voladas, it's Hashem. You should run to seek out Hashem. Amar Zera, Meresh, originally, Kavi Chazinu Lurabonon, when I saw the rabbis, the Koroit, the Pirko Bishabos, when they're running to the Shir on Shabbos, I saw they were running. Mina, I said to myself, the Bach changes the word around slightly, Komachalalinon, Rabbonon Shabbos. They're Machal Shabbos, you're not allowed to run on Shabbos. Running is a form of exercise. Now let exercise on Shabbos. Now let schwitz on Shabbos. So it's a form of refuah. So we don't run on Shabbos. It's improper to run on Shabbos. So he thought they were doing something wrong. However, once I heard this memra, keeping the Shemana Lod, the Rav Tanchum, Rav Yishuv and Levi, Lolem Yoritz Adam, Litvar Halacha, the Grah chains around, Litvar Mitzvah. So he says, Afilu B'Shabbos, even allowed to do this on Shabbos. You should do this like you would run if you heard a lion. So you should always run to hear the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do a mitzvah. So he said, so I also run on Shabbos. I thought it was wrong to run to shul on Shabbos. You're allowed to run to shul on Shabbos. If you're late, for sure, you can run to shul on Shabbos. You should try to walk regularly if you don't have to run, but you certainly can pick up the pace to run to shul, but you shouldn't be running away from shul. Amar Zera, Igra de Pirka Riata. The schar that you get for going to a shir is the going to the shir. Rashi brings out an amazing thing. He says, because most people don't understand the shir, won't remember the shir. This is wonderful news for all the people in Daf Yomi that say, I don't even remember the order of the mesechtas that we just finished. What came before Nida? Quick, what came before Nida? You don't want to answer that question. If you don't remember the mesechta, you're not going to remember that much inside of the mesechta. I'm talking to myself, I'm not talking to you guys. So we don't want to go and be tested on all the stuff. So people worry, I don't remember it, so what's going to happen? So he said, don't worry, you get a tremendous amount of schar for trying. The riato, you're rushing to go to the shir. That's the real schar that you get. Because most people won't remember the shir. That's what Rashi says over here, right? It's amazing over here. He says, Shari Rubam Eino Mevinin Lahamid Girsa. Most people won't be able to say the shir over today. So don't worry about that. You tried. Whatever you got, you got. You shouldn't forget on purpose, but you try. So that's the sky you get for going to the shir. Amabai, Igra the Kala. The sky that you get for going to the Kala is Dochaka. All the pushing around over there. They all ask, it's the same thing. It's learning. How come one is Dochaka and one is Rieta? So the answer, the Igra the Pirka was not a regularly scheduled shir. So you just find out about it, you have to run to it. Whereas the Kala was a regularly scheduled shir. So there was more people there, there was more pressure. So that's why they get different schas for the different type of shirim that you go to. Amarava, Igra the Shmaisasa, the benefit that you get from hearing a good vart is svara. It teaches you how to think properly. It teaches you to train your mind. Amarav Papa, Igra the Bei Tamya, the schai that you get from going to either a Beis Avel or to a house and you're doing shmira on a mace is shtikusa, is the silence. This is halacha, that when you go to a Beis Avel, you're not supposed to talk till they talk to you. You get credit for being silent. Because sometimes that's more of a nechama. I've unfortunately heard many people say very stupid things in a Beis Avel. They're so, I have to talk, can't be silent. So they say stupid things like, oh, he's better off now. Well, no, they're not better off. They don't feel that way. You know, even if it's true what you're saying, that's not a nechama. So you have to be very careful about what you say. So therefore, silence is sometimes the best answer. Lo motzasi leguf tov mishtika, a famous statement from Pirkei Avos. And then it says also, if you go do shmira, so you're not allowed to learn out loud. So shtikusa, when you're doing shmira on a mace, you're in the dalat of a mace, you have to be silent. Right? We just had a Aseret B'Teves. So what's the best thing that you get from a Aseret B'Teves? The money that you saved on food that day you should give to tzedakah. So the real benefit of a tainis is the tzedakah that you give. The best thing that you get for a hesped over here is causing people to cry. That you make people sad, you make a good hesped, they realize the loss of the tzaddik that just departed, and it makes them cry. That's the schar for the hesped. Amar Vashi, Igra de Behilula Mile, and the schar that you get for going to a wedding is when you're Mesameach Chosim Kalis. Rashi says, Mesameach Chosim B'Dvarim. When you tell the Chosim, oh, you have such a nice Kali, you tell the Kali, you have such a nice Chosim, just such a beautiful wedding, oh, you'll be so happy together. You tell them nice things. When people tell the Chosim Kali, oh, this is the last day of your freedom today, right? Now you go. You're doing the exact opposite of what the Torah tells us to do. Amafuna, real quickly, one more. Call Mispalach or Beis HaKnesses. If somebody davens outside the Beis HaKnesses, actually we ran out of time. Let's stop over here. We're at the two dots. We'll stop over here. It's Hashem. We'll pick this up tomorrow.